The Bible reading this morning is taken from Joel chapter 2, starting at verse 28. Okay, so that's Joel chapter 2, starting at verse 28. And afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heaven and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is my second time doing it this morning. I've been preaching at the 9:30, so it's always interesting to see whether the second run-through is any better than the first. We shall see. Just before I start speaking, I'm just going to start with prayer. Lord, we just thank you that we have been here bathing in your presence this morning. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is already here amongst us. We thank you for the time and space we have had to lift our voices to you in worship. But Lord, I just ask now that we would open our hearts to your message, to your word. Lord, I pray that each one of us would hear what you need us to hear this morning and that we would respond to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, it's really exciting to be talking on this passage because Joel is just such an amazing passage to talk about. And I just love the fact that, you know, God pours out his spirit on all people. And I was looking for a nice joke to do with the Holy Spirit that I could start my sermon with. I sadly couldn't find one about the Holy Spirit, but I did find some other good jokes. So I'm just going to share a very random joke with you now. So a little boy opened the big family Bible, and he was fascinated as he was fingering through the old pages, and suddenly something fell out of the Bible. He picked up the object and looked at it, and he saw that it was an old leaf and that it had been pressed between the pages. And he called out to his mum, "Mama, look what I found." And his mum said, "What have you got, dear?" And he said, "Wow. I think I've got Adam's underwear." So yeah, nothing to do with the Holy Spirit at all. But there we go. Good for a giggle. So we've got this wonderful passage all about the prophecy of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And we're really lucky that we actually, that we get to see the fulfillment of this prophecy in Acts at Pentecost when the Spirit is poured out on all of the believers. It's an amazing thing to read about. So previously in the Old Testament and when Jesus was there, the Spirit of God would rest upon individuals as and when God needed them to perhaps share a message with his people or perhaps there was a particular work that he wanted them to do. And so it was only, you know, those very particular individuals that got to receive the Spirit of God. But the incredible thing about this passage is the inclusivity of it. That every single one of us that believes in God gets to receive the Holy Spirit, and not just a little bit of the Holy Spirit, but an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And how wonderful is that for each one of us? Oh, there you go. I'm just going to read it again. I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on servants, men and women alike. So we know that it's not just kept back for those that are just holy. It's not for those that are extroverts. It's not for a particular gender, and it's not for a particular age group. It's for every single one of us, young and old, whoever we are. God wants to pour it out upon us. So I really want to think about why it is that God chooses to fill all believers with his Spirit. What is it that he's really trying to achieve? And as I was preparing this, I just felt that there were three particular areas that God uses his Holy Spirit upon us for. So hopefully let's see if my clicker works, shall we? So God pours out his Spirit upon us as individuals for our own individual growth and our understanding. Obviously, that's really important that he does that. But he also does it for the benefit of each other, of the other people here in the church. We're meant to use the Holy Spirit to help each other and grow together as a church. And it's also for the benefit of those outside of the church. So basically, the Holy Spirit is there for the benefit of all people everywhere. There is not a category that doesn't get covered by those categories. And it's also just really important to note that the Holy Spirit is there to bring glory to God. That's what it's all about as well. So I just want to look a little bit more at the first section. So we are filled with the Holy Spirit for our own benefit. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts us of our sins. It's the Holy Spirit that lets us know that Jesus is Lord, that he is our Saviour, that he died on the cross for us. It's the Holy Spirit that leads us into all truth about who God truly is. We can so easily have ideas in our head about who we think God is, but the Holy Spirit provides us with the absolute truth about who he is. It's the Holy Spirit that begins to transform us inwardly. Obviously, this is a lifelong journey as he does this, but we cannot do that in our own strength. We could not sustain it. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to stop sinning and to be more like Jesus. And the Holy Spirit guides us as we pray, and he brings scripture to life as we read it. So we all need the help of the Holy Spirit. Now we know from 1 Corinthians 12 that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. So we know that if we can say Jesus is Lord, then the Holy Spirit resides within us. But we do get to have a say as to how much involvement he has in our lives. Perhaps sometimes we're guilty of accepting God the Father. Yes, we trust him. Jesus, our Saviour, yes, he's trustworthy. He's our friend and Saviour. Holy Spirit, he's a bit more temperamental. Not entirely sure that I trust him fully. But actually, God is one. They are united as one. And so if God the Father and Jesus the Son are trustworthy, then so is the Holy Spirit. And we need to stop being fearful about how the Holy Spirit works. Thinking about the second point, about how the Holy Spirit is poured upon us for the benefit of others within the church. So we can quite often think about how much we receive the Holy Spirit as very much a personal preference. But in fact, because a large part of receiving the Holy Spirit is for the benefit of other believers, it's not just about how we feel. We're actually meant to be receiving it for the benefit of others. Each one of us is given a gift or gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we are to use to help others in the church. So if we're saying, no, thank you, God, I don't really want to receive you fully, then we're saying, actually, I don't want to really help others that well in the church. I don't want to effectively help them. And that's actually quite a big deal to be saying no to. Now, the passage that we heard earlier talks very specifically about prophecy and dreams and visions, and they're, you know, sort of quite big, exciting things and things that we get involved in as a church together quite often. And that's really good and something that we should be working towards more and more and allowing space for more and more. But today, I just really want to think about the way that we individually can allow the Holy Spirit to work more in our own lives. Now, we're all given human giftings that we can use to bless others, and that's a really, really good thing. So we might have somebody who's a great cook, and they can bless somebody else by creating a lovely meal and delivering it to their friend, and their friend's very grateful and chomps away, eats it all up. And that's lovely, and that is a blessing. We might have somebody else who's a really good listener, And they've got their friend who's struggling, and so they take their friend out for a drink somewhere. They have a chat. They listen to their friend, listen to the struggles that they're going through. Again, it's a really good thing. Nothing that I can say that's negative about that in any way, and they are being a blessing. You might have somebody else who's a very prayerful person, and perhaps whilst they're at church, they know that somebody else is really hurting, and they offer to say a prayer for that person. Again, it's all good. But those same situations can be utterly transformed if we actually invite the Spirit in to work through us as we go out and do these things for people. So take that great cook. Perhaps she started her day saying, "Lord, please use me today. I want to be full of your Holy Spirit. Please show me where the need is and help me to be there for somebody today." And then God perhaps speaks to them through that day and says, "This person, this friend is really struggling. They need some help today." And so they arrive with their meal, and that friend who's struggling, you know, perhaps that day they've hit rock bottom. They are exhausted. They don't know how they're going to feed the kids and get everything else done. And then when their friend turns up with this lovely meal, it's a huge blessing directly from God. They cried out to God for help, and God answered their prayer. And so they end that day praising God, giving glory to God. That cook, you know, the cook has found out that their friend was really, really struggling and really needed that meal that day, then they feel blessed as well, and they give glory to God for using them. And so that situation has utterly been transformed. God is glorified. It's the same with the good listener. You know, if they've started the day asking for the Holy Spirit to be with them and to guide them in the words that they use and how they meet somebody that day, then when they go and meet their friend, perhaps they'll be given the right words to say to that friend to really encourage them through their struggles. There'll be words that speak right into the situation that they're going through. And that struggling friend will know that they are words directly from God. And they will feel that they've been acknowledged by God, they are loved by God, and that small blessing of, you know, having somebody to chat through has suddenly been magnified. They end the day giving glory to God, even through their struggles. And it's the same with perhaps the person that's praying for somebody at church. And I don't know whether you ever have this, but sometimes the way that God speaks to us can be through just very simple little pictures, or a simple word. And if you're praying with somebody and you get one of these pictures and you share it with that person, and it's something totally relevant to what they're carrying and what they're dealing with, they know it's not just from you. They know that God has spoken directly to them, that God sees their suffering and their pain, and God wants to come in and start transforming them, perhaps bring healing, start that process of healing. And so these simple little acts have become something much more magnified. All of these situations will end up with these people giving glory to God. Surely, if we are equipped with the Holy Spirit to do these things, then we are just continuing the work of Jesus. And what a privilege that is. So we know that in the Bible, we hear how Jesus met individuals personally and profoundly. And Jesus didn't stop doing that when he went to heaven. He wants to continue doing that. And he needs to use each one of us to allow Jesus to meet with those around us. So he might use one of you to, you know, to allow you to bring Jesus to somebody else. And Jesus wants to meet with each one of us, and he wants to use each one of us to connect with somebody else. So we are all important in this church. Every single one of us has a role to play. God sees who we're connected to and who we can bring his blessing to. I just think it's really worth saying as well that if we are full of the Holy Spirit as a church, if each one of us is full of the Holy Spirit, then our hearts are going to be aligned with God's heart. And it means that we will all come together and be going in the same direction together. When we're not full of the Holy Spirit, it's so easy for us as humans to have our own ideas about how we should do things, or our own preferences. And that doesn't really work as a church, because we've got too many different ideas going on. So when the church becomes really effective and really starts to thrive is when we all come together and we all can follow God's heart together. Another really good reason to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so God also pours out his Spirit for the benefit of those outside the church. And it might sort of make you think, well, gosh, how does that really help anyone outside of the church if I'm full of the Holy Spirit? But it's only really when we are full of the Holy Spirit that we can actually have the confidence and the boldness to go and share those truths that we have discovered ourselves. I think we can see this really clearly in Acts chapter 4, when we have Peter and John preaching boldly. And it says that the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. We know that before Pentecost, they had been hiding away in a room and they really didn't feel like they had what they needed to go out and preach. But after Pentecost, when they are full of the Holy Spirit, they stand up in front of big crowds and they draw people to Jesus. It's that boldness that they really need, and it's only the Holy Spirit that can equip us for that. Now, the second section of the reading that we have seems to refer to the last days and the day of judgment. It's quite kind of ominous thought. And I'm just going to read that bit again. I will cause wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and terrible day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, I don't think it's a coincidence that we've moved from the first part of the passage, which is all about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, to thinking about the end of times and the day of judgment. I think that the only way that we can all be prepared for that day of judgment is through the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that will convict each one of us and get us to that right place before that day of judgment comes. It will be the Holy Spirit that allows us to help each other around us to get to that place where we can say, truly, Jesus is Lord. And again, we need the Holy Spirit to help us to share that truth with those outside of the church. We need to show them through our lives and through our faith that we know that Jesus is Lord and we want that for them as well. It's a scary thing to do, I know, but we need the Holy Spirit in order to do these things. So I just wanted to think about a few questions as I draw to a close. What is holding us back from letting the Holy Spirit be poured out upon us? Have we been guilty of only accepting the Holy Spirit in very small, very measured doses? We trust God the Father and Christ his Son, but do we really trust the Holy Spirit? Or do we want to make that change today and invite the Holy Spirit to equip us to serve those around us better? Are we hungry to see the many wondrous ways in which the Holy Spirit can be at work in our lives and others' lives in order to bring glory to God? I'm just going to close in prayer. Lord, I just want to really thank you for the way that you promised to pour out your Spirit on all people and that we saw that come into fruition at Pentecost. Lord Jesus, I just thank you that there is no way in which you want to hold back your Holy Spirit, but you want to pour it out upon each one of us. There's nobody that you want to miss out. You want everybody to receive the Holy Spirit fully and daily, because we need that filling of the Holy Spirit regularly to keep us close to you, Lord. Lord, help us to see this morning what it is that stops us from allowing you to fill us fully. Lord, where there is fear, I pray that you would help to remove that. Lord, I thank you that being filled with the Spirit doesn't have to mean anything wacky or strange, Lord. I thank you that your Spirit can fill us quietly as we sit before you. I thank you that your Holy Spirit can come gently upon us, but still be poured out in abundance. Lord Jesus, help us to open our hearts to you this morning. Help us to be bold, Lord Jesus, and to accept what it is that you are offering to us, that amazing gift that you have offered. Help us to open our hearts and our hands to receive you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.